How was Jazz Night, Satch?
It was so good. Oh my goodness. I'm still reeling. And let's give it up for the incredible Hui Fam.
Hello, everyone.
Insert applause.
I played the drums. That was probably, like, I'm not even kidding here, the best gig I've ever played.
Really?
Yeah, oh my it was God. Just so much fun. The vibes, just immense.
And it was so much fun. And then the song choices, the lineup was excellent.
Thank you. Capital my personal e. favorite, Leave the Door Open by Bruno
yes.
and Anderson.
Oh,
we got like
God.
Four people on stage to do the backup vocals.
It was so good. Also, we moment. Cannot forget the amazing Sunnies that you guys all had.
Sponsored by Cotton On, $7 each. Get your own pair. Official Citrus Buzz merch. So how do we want to start?
Welcome,
is this for
welcome.
Our little jingle?
Let's do some recording.
Dum-dum-dum-dum. Yeah, this is pretty interesting, isn't it?
With the aim assess.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting.
Test 1, 2.
Aim assess
3.
Anywho. Hey, Satch.
Hey, Hui. How you doing?
I'm doing great. This is quite late. 9:11 p.m. and 58 seconds.
Catch up with the aim assess. Catch up. Manic edition again.
I think that's just default.
No.
All right. Now that we have thoroughly confused our listeners, let's get on to the episode. What is on the agenda?
So, coming up today on the podcast, number one, catch up with us. It's been 3 whole weeks. Then two, what's on this week and next week and a little bit of the week after with the AMSS.
Yeah. And then I don't think we'll do the Rome with the AMSS.
No,
but
let's do it. Live from Jazz Night.
All right, 3. Live from Jazz Night. We'll just get a snippet because it's just fun to listen to some lo-fi jazz and listen to us talk shit. So, and what's on Ed Corner? Because that's what people are really here for.
Well, we're going to be going through anemia, which is highly relevant for the first years, but also for everyone because it comes up all the time.
Definitely. I know you guys have finished the case already, but I did chat to a few first years and they all said bit confused about anemia, so I think this will be much appreciated. Hopefully,
some holiday revision.
Well, what do we have coming up then?
So, first coming up on the Monday, Convention Rego. It's going to be combined with Flinders. Going to be a hype fest.
Yay!
Give us a rundown, Hui. Considering obviously being Dep convener, give us a rundown of what Rego looks like, how it normally goes.
Yeah, totally. So. Rego is obviously when you buy your tickets to convention, and every year the AMSS usually does an in-person Rego where a whole bunch of people get together in the same room and it's just a hype fest. I remember when we were in first year and it was just like everyone around a circle, pizza, and the energy in the room was so nervous,
but also
so excited. And I remember like we clicked on the dot and one by one, people would just like jump up in their chairs and shout because they got a ticket and they were successful. And so we're hoping to recreate that this year with Flinders there as well.
Double the hype.
Yeah, double the hype. And we'll be doing a radio.
Dare I say double the competition. But
definitely possible. You know, Adelaide has always been a bit more engaged with convention than Flinders, but prove us wrong, Flinders.
I think it depends. Like, look, I think if you're there with some good internet, and some good, if you're there on time, you're going to be fine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that'd be real fun. And, you know, quick plug, we're going to transition straight from there, the entire team, into watching MasterChef with Yanina Yang on.
Yeah.
And that's going to be just downstairs. So, you know, a double whammy for that Monday night. Come to Rego, then go and watch the MasterChef.
Yeah, and she's killing it on the committee as well this year. So we're so keen to see her kill it on TV. Like, what?
So besides Monday, what else do we have coming up?
Next big things coming up are committee meeting number 3, which is on the 27th of April. So that's a Tuesday after that Anzac Day weekend. And the last committee meeting was epic. The attendance was huge. And we had some like really important chats about internship and other big issues. But it was also just such a fun time. There was a really cute turnout at the Cumbie afterwards.
Really fun. I don't think I've ever heard anyone use the word epic in like 8 years. So congrats to you, Satch, on bringing it back.
Thank you.
And then we have MedFooty.
Med footy, 30th of April. Get keen.
It's been a couple years since we've had a med footy.
So I know.
I'm really, really excited. The last memory I had of med footy is getting pummeled into the ground by a sixth year. So hopefully this year I can return the favor, you know, pass on the tradition.
I know. And then for those who don't want to play med footy as well, you get to cheer on your friends, maybe take part in the sprints.
Oh.
And maybe take part in the EMC as well. There's so much stuff to do. It's also just such a good time to hang out with everyone. And there's going to be barbecue, some charity stuff that's to be revealed. And footy's also, other than the Med Footy Day, the sports team's been running a competition for footy tipping this year. So get onto that. Head onto the Med Footy event as well. Sign up for the teams and keep an eye out for the lovely player profiles that are going to be coming out.
I'm excited.
So.
Super iconic. Let's get
onto the Rome.
Onto the Rome. Let's get onto the Rome. See you on the other side of the Rome, I suppose.
We didn't recap. We're actually at Jazz Night in Wonderland.
We are?
2021. Oh. And we've actually got Dom here with us.
She's running away from the mic.
She's running away from the mic. We've got Cam here with us. She's enjoying some chips also from Orexi. How are things going?
It's going really great. Everyone looks like they're having such a great time. We had so much fun setting it all up.
Yes,
and we're very excited for the rest of the night.
Yay. Good vibes.
Good vibes only.
Thank you so much for all the hard work. So I'm here with Liam at the moment, who's just talking to me about the podcast actually, but how about you tell us about Jazz Night today?
Well, Jazz Night is going great. We've got a fantastic band. I think it's either Citrus Buzz or
Moon Soda.
Moon Solo at the moment.
Moon Soda!
Moon Soda at the moment. But no, absolutely grooving. There's so many people having so much fun.
You're singing with Citrus Buzz, aren't you?
I'll be jumping up on the back doing some harmonies or stuff, but you know, I'm just very excited to hear Scott sing, you know.
He's incredible. The vibes are already happening.
The vibes are definitely happening, you know.
And there's a big group of people that have started to rock up now, so the venue's starting to fill up.
Yeah, classic Jazz Night. Never rock up on time.
Yeah.
Hello again.
Hi, good
was
to
that
be
fun? I can't remember if the Rome was fun or not, but I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I think it was very tasty for you.
Oh, right. That falafel souvlaki.
Yeah.
Still have dreams about it.
Heard very good things about it.
Now, good segue there. You might eat a lot of falafel if you're vegetarian or vegan. And one thing we need to look out for when we're vegetarian or vegan is our iron levels. Because you have low iron, you might get anemia. And so that, ladies and gentlemen, leads us into
Ed Corner.
Cue the jingle. Teaching on this cast.
Things you didn't learn in the past.
Pass them up to a real doctor.
We forgot to invite a real doctor.
It's probably because neither one of us asked.
We should probably actually get someone to fact check all this. It's a good rhyme though.
Disclaimer time. We're students just like you. The AIM Assess does not take responsibility for the educational advice provided in this podcast. Please do your own reading and learning for the topics that we discuss. Thank you and enjoy Ed Corner.
So we're going to focus Ed Corner this week really around that first year case and iron deficiency anemia. Not to say this is not clinically relevant. We're going to go through a few extension things as well. Mm-hmm. But what can everyone expect from Ed Corner today, Satch?
So we're going to go through the classifications of causes for anemia and ways to remember each one. And then we're going to be going through, well, we're not actually going through physiology. We're going to tell you a good video to watch for physiology.
Yeah.
And then going through a couple of clinical cases and using that to also talk about investigations and breeze through management principles as well.
Yeah, super quick. It should be a short episode this week, but hopefully high yield enough for you guys to get lots out of it.
Yes.
So let's start.
Well, should we go through what anemia is first of all, Lee?
No, the script says what the heck is anemia? Well, it's not a dang diagnosis. So how many times do you think an older medical student or junior doctor has told you that anemia is not a diagnosis, Saj?
18,000. But basically, the main two ways that we're taught are to look at the passive pathophysiology.
Oh, hold on one sec. I think we didn't actually say what anemia was.
Oh, yeah. Whoops, I forgot.
So it's not a diagnosis, but what is it?
So with anemia, look, you're looking at low hemoglobin.
That's it, right? Literally that. Then we need to delve into, you know, what's causing it. That's when people get into anemia not being a diagnosis. So how do we think about it?
Yeah, sorry. So the main two ways that we're taught are through the pathophysiology and also by the CBE, which we'll go through. So the complete blood exam.
Nice.
On blood tests.
So we're going to start with pathophysiology because it makes a bit more sense intuitively. Now, I want everyone to think about a factory, and this is the best way to think about it. And there's actually, I think there's an anime based around like the red blood cells in the body. I have no clue whether they actually like have a factory creating these red blood cells.
Cells at work.
That's the one. Trust anime to anthropomorphize red blood cells. But anyway, so when we think about a factory, what are the components that we need to like create a product?
So
just in general.
In general, you need some material.
Mm-hmm.
You need the factory itself.
Yep.
And then you need like the production line and then
distribution.
Sort of, yeah, distribution. Yep.
And so the way I like to think about pathophys of anemia is think about on each of these points, what can go wrong? So first one, raw materials. What can go wrong there?
So if you don't have enough raw materials, then you can't really make the product, can you? So how do we think about this in the context of anemia? Well, then you'd sort of been looking at the causes like iron deficiency, B12 deficiency, folate, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So B12 and folate providing some of the precursors that allow those red blood cells to be made. So no raw materials, no red blood cells.
Yeah.
Next,
bad product.
Bad product, yeah. Well, that leads into bad factory. So if we have a bad factory, maybe one that doesn't have good equipment or one that doesn't have good workers, what could happen?
Well, then what ends up happening is you end up getting faulty red blood cells. Some examples of that are sickle cell anemia or thalassemia. So you're making the product, but it's just not a good enough version that you can sell at the end.
Yeah, so you can't sell the product. You can't use the product. So it's crap.
Yeah.
On top of that as well, if your factory is just broken in general, so your bone marrow in your body is broken dysfunctional, maybe in a leukemia or some kind of other cancer, then you're not going to be able to make red blood cells as normal.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's your bad factory.
And even things like, we'll talk about it in a second, but sideroblastic anemia, again, that's where you've got a bone marrow dysfunction.
Cool. The next one is, let's say we have our product, we've made it, it's actually decent. We've chucked it into our van or our train. And
there's a hole in the van!
No, why is there a hole in the bottom of the van? And so this is your classic. This is what the first year case is about. This is you're losing your red blood cells, leading to iron deficiency anemia. So where are some classic places you could lose blood?
GIT. Yep. Menstrual blood loss, that's really, really important.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at GIT, so that's your gastrointestinal tract, we want to be asking for black tarry stools because that can be a sign of the upper GI bleeding. As it goes through, it'll oxidize and get black.
But you can also have bright red stools, and so that'll be lower down.
Lower down, yeah. So it doesn't have a chance for that process to happen.
So the last analogy is a bit of a stretch, but stick with me. So imagine we have our factory and then we find out that there's a bunch of thieves afoot. They're looting our stores, they're looting our factories, they're locking your people up, hide your kids, hide your wife. But what our body does when that kind of stuff happens, when we have a disease, for example, is it hides the iron away because it doesn't want the disease to get that iron. Okay. So that's anemia of chronic disease is when you have chronic inflammation. We have an anemia because our body itself is taking away, sequestering that iron.
Yeah, exactly right.
So that's pathophys. That is a very roughly fit factory analogy. But now we go more into what you might see on the wards, often what you'll read in textbooks.
Yeah, so I guess that will be going through the complete blood exam, which is something that you can order in blood tests. And a really, really key thing, well, the main things we're going to be going through are hemoglobin and MCV, which is the mean corpuscular volume. And then we'll be going through two extra things just briefly. The MCH, the mean corpuscular hemoglobin, and the hematocrit. But to start with the hemoglobin, it's essentially a protein that carries around the oxygen in our cells. And so when it's low, then you're in trouble because then you've got less oxygen being carried around. So, Hui, what values constitute as being low for hemoglobin?
Yeah, so, well, the first thing to know is that females and males have different reference ranges.
Yeah.
Typically, when we think about anemia being low hemoglobin, in females that's 100 and males that's 130. But you need to take these values in the whole clinical context as well. Mm-hmm. So look at it relative to previous levels, look at it relative to the actual demographic as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Next, MCV, mean corpuscular volume. So break those values down and those words down. Mean, average, corpuscular, meaning of the cell, and volume, meaning the volume. So this is the average size of the red cells. So what numbers are important here, Sach?
80 and 100. If it's less than 80, you've got micro, meaning small, cytic, meaning cell. If you've got greater than 100, you have macro, meaning big, and cytic, meaning cell again. So less than 80, microcytic, greater than 100, macrocytic, then in between, you've got normocytic. So what's the point of all this?
Well, this is how we commonly classify anemias. Realistically, this is the most common way you'll hear people classify their anemias into micro, normal, and macrocytic. So we're going to give you a few mnemonics now just to remember those. This is rote learning, but it will come up a lot during your medical career. So starting with microcytic causes, what's our mnemonic?
Tails.
T for
thalassemia.
A for anemia or chronic disease.
I for iron deficiency, big one.
Big one. L for lead poisoning.
And S for sideroblastic.
So what is sideroblastic, just quickly?
So you're pretty much having bone marrow producing dodgy ringed cells.
Bad factory.
Yes.
All right. So that's microcytic.
Yep.
Being low MCV. Now we have our normocytic causes. And so the mnemonic we have here is A, B, C, D. All right. Yep. So the first one, A for acute blood loss. Yep.
B for bone marrow.
Disease.
Yeah.
C for chronic disease. So anemia or chronic disease can also cause a normocytic picture.
Mm-hmm. And D for destruction, so hemolytic anemias.
Yeah. And so the reason why we have acute blood loss here is because in the acute setting, your body hasn't been able to adapt to these changes of blood loss. So you're not getting that microcytic that you see with iron deficiency blood loss. Last one.
Last one's macrocytic.
Yay.
So big cells. And for that, we've got fat RBC. Because the red blood cells are big and fat.
This is the best one for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
So the first, well, the only F. So F is for fetus. So in pregnancy, you might see a macrocytic picture.
A is for alcoholism.
So specifically alcoholism itself as well. T for thyroid disease and specifically hypothyroidism. So that's low thyroid activity.
Yep. R for reticulocytosis. So that's an increase in reticulocytes, which is the immature version of a red blood cell.
B for B12 and folate deficiency. And it's important to know that alcoholism can lead to B12 and folate deficiency, but you can also have these on their own.
Yep. And similarly, C is for cirrhosis, which can be caused by alcoholism as well, but can also be caused by the cirrhosis itself.
Yeah. All right. One for the older years. And I'm going to ask you, Sach, sometimes the word megaloblastic anemia gets thrown around. What does this actually mean?
Well, it's a special type of macrocytic anemia, and it causes our neutrophils to look super wacky. Yeah. And you see that with B12 and folate deficiencies, and related to the folate, it can happen with some drugs as well, like methotrexate. So that's why people always group the B12 and folate together.
Yeah, so this is one that you kind of have to diagnose in blood film, and what you'll see is a hypersegmented neutrophil in the nucleus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. So we mentioned two other values you want to see in a complete blood exam. So MCH is the third value we care about, and that's mean corpuscular hemoglobin. For all intents and purposes, this is how saturated that red blood cell looks under a microscope almost. So how much hemoglobin is in it. So what kind of terms might you hear with MCH, Sach?
So you can have chromic, meaning color, which relates to that saturation that we was talking about. So usually you see hypochromic, so less color, normochromic, meaning normal color, and hyperchromic, meaning more saturated, a darker color.
Yeah. And so the classic one you'll hear this with is iron deficiency anemia, which is hypochromic as well as being microcytic. Okay, last value that we care about, hematocrit.
Tell us the things.
Yeah, so your hematocrit is not one that we actually use a lot in clinical medicine, at least from my experience and through med school.
Yeah.
But what it's actually looking at is the ratio of hemoglobin red blood cells within the actual plasma volume.
So that's our CBE. The big ones that we'll end up using in the cases today is the hemoglobin and the MCV.
So we wanted to quickly touch on iron metabolism physiology, and this is relevant to first years especially. So, Sach, what kind of resources do we have to point people to?
Well, something that I found really, really useful is Armando Hasseltigen's video on iron physiology, because he goes through a lot of the things that are covered in the learning objectives for first year. And so you can head on over to that video. I think this might be our second plug of his, maybe.
Yeah, I reckon.
What have you found useful?
I think there's a couple good textbooks that go through it really well. From memory, Guyton, although it's a bit text heavy, and I think Sherwood briefly touches on it. Just know that you don't have to memorize each single step and each single protein and transporter and gate and all that. Just understand the general gist of how the iron gets moved around.
Yeah. And I think in particular, for things like hemolytic anemias where your cells are getting broken down, understanding sort of that red blood cell lifestyle, yes, that 120-day lifestyle.
That's SoCal, South California lifestyle the red blood cells live.
The life cycle and the breakdown process and things like that, because that can be very relevant for other things as well.
Quickly on that. And this is improv.
Improv.
What's the lifespan of a typical red blood cell?
120 days.
120 days.
And shout out, another random shout out, to do with blood. Vampire Cup. Get on it.
Get on it. So one way to lose blood quite quickly is by bloodletting or just giving it up to save others' lives. And so if you're feeling generous with your own blood, please consider donating and sign up with Vampire Cup with the AMSS.
Exactly right. And if you're not able to, then finding someone else to nominate for you is also another way to go.
Good cause, and you could win prizes.
Exactly. And then now we're back to our clinical cases, and we'll start off
case
with
time.
Case one.
Okay.
So, all right, Hui. So we've got a 50-year-old woman.
What's her name?
Her name is...
Mel.
Not Kel Nikos.
No, her name is Melina.
Melina, yes. All right, we've got a 50-year-old woman, Melina, and she's presenting with fatigue. She's been a bit dizzy, a bit lightheaded, and her bingo friends have said she's a bit pale. She does eat a normal diet, but when you start asking about her diet, she gets super defensive and goes, "I eat cured meat every day."
It's a lot of cured meat.
On further questioning, she eats other things, but can't specify. So, Hui, what are some important questions you would want to know?
Do I only get three?
Yes, you only get three.
I have to get rid of my question about why she's playing bingo so often at 50 years old. But anyway, so my three top questions would be, one, do you have any black poos? Two, what is your menstrual history like? Specifically, have you gone through menopause or when was your last period? And three, do you have any other symptoms that are indicative of a cancer? So for example, appetite loss, weight loss that's unexplained, and also night sweats.
Yeah, so to give you further history, she has had some of those symptoms. She's had some unintentional weight loss. She's noticed some night sweats. And on top of the fatigue, she's had some appetite changes as well. She's also noticed some black tarry stools.
Uh-oh.
And she did go through menopause a few years ago. So she said that she doesn't lose blood through her periods anymore. So what are we thinking, Hui?
Well, the entire picture sounds like it could be an iron deficiency anemia. And that's the most common cause of anemia in general. So I want to think about that first. So I want to figure out why this lady, Mel, is losing her blood and where is it getting lost from. First, it seems unlikely that she isn't eating enough iron in her diet with all those cured meats. And the black poo sounds suspiciously like Melina, which is like her name. That combined with her cancer symptoms, so the B symptoms we call them, would make you very suspicious of bowel cancer specifically. So where I'd go from here is do some investigations to find that or at least rule it out. So that might include a camera test or a colonoscopy to look for that.
Great. Great work. So a big learning point there is also just not saying iron deficiency anemia as your diagnosis either. Mm. You want to talk about what's causing the iron deficiency, because you can have blood loss from various sources, as we talked about. It can be from a dietary iron deficiency. So it's really important to actually highlight what is causing the iron deficiency.
Very nice.
On to case two.
Case two, hit bit of an it. Extension case, and we're going to focus a bit more on the investigations. So, Satch, our patient today is Phil Late. He's a 40-year-old male. He's come in telling you he has been feeling tired. He doesn't have any black tarry stools or other symptoms.
Just the name. Anyway, continue.
However, he has said that he has a high daily alcohol consumption and has a poor diet nutritionally. You do an exam and then you do a CBE, which shows some results.
Excuse me, examiner. Mm-hmm. May I have the results?
Yes, first year medical student, you may have these results. What values would you like to know?
I would like to know the hemoglobin.
It is low.
Okay. The MCV?
It is a big boy.
And the MCH?
It is up, up, up. So how would you describe this anemia in those terms we were talking about before?
So with the MCV being big and the MCH being big, you've got a macrocytic hyperchromic, and with the low hemoglobin, anemia. So macrocytic hyperchromic anemia.
Very nice.
So with that picture, I guess just looking from with the important history features where he's tired, has got that high alcohol consumption, poor diet, in the context of macrocytic anemia, it could be from a few things. As we sort of talked about, the alcoholism itself could be causing it. It could be a secondary to a B12 deficiency because of the nutritional effects as well as alcohol itself. So there's a few things to think about, and I think we should do a blood film and also do some B12 studies to see what we can, you know, further figure out.
Yeah. Very nice. And that's essentially how you work up this patient. And as you go through each of these investigations, if there's an indication to do something more specific down the line, you follow that train of thought.
Great.
Okay. Nice cases. Well, they were fun, weren't they? But Satch, CBE isn't the only investigation we have in our toolbooks of anemia, is it?
Nope. So we've mentioned blood film as well, but we're going to go through iron studies today.
Yay. What's that?
Basically, it's like chemistry. You study ions.
No, not ions.
Iron.
So there's four things that we care about in an iron study, Satch. So what are the four horsemen of the iron apocalypse?
Oh, my God. Iron, ferritin, TIVC, which is the total iron binding capacity, transferrin. You can also look at the transferrin saturation as well.
All right. So we're going to run through each of these one by one and explain them in context of iron deficiency anemia.
Great.
First one, the easy one, iron. Looks at how much iron there is. So, Satch, if I have an iron deficiency anemia, would I be deficient in iron?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you got that right. What about ferritin? What is ferritin?
So ferritin is a special protein. It stores iron, but it only gets produced in response to iron. So pretty dumb, just follows iron around. So if you've got a low iron, your body's like, lol, okay. You low, I'm low.
It's quite silly.
Yeah.
So in iron deficiency anemia, we have low iron and ferritin's produced in response to the level of iron. Low iron means low ferritin.
Yep.
Nice. Next, transferrin. So this is your toot toot chugga chugga big red car of iron. It's a glycoprotein that helps carry iron around the body. Yay. So when you have low iron, the body is like, oh shit, where is the iron? And increases the amount of transferrin, more cars, so it can carry around as much iron or wiggles as possible. So to summarize, with iron deficiency anemia, we have low iron, so we want more cars or more transferrin to bring it around.
Yeah. But then when you've got the low iron, then the amount of iron that's binding on the transferrin itself is less. So because of that, you've got a low transferrin saturation. So sometimes that can be on the iron studies as well that they'll give you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that brings us on to TIVC, or the total iron binding capacity or the topsy-turvy transfer and saturation.
It's essentially the opposite of transfer and saturation, right?
Yeah, 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 that's very true.
So think about the TIBC as like how many seats you have available in the big red car.
So there, that definitely makes sense because you've got more seats available then you've got a higher capacity to take on more passengers because essentially you want to bind as much as possible if you've got a low iron, for example.
Mm-hmm. To bring the analogy further, if there's only Greg in our car, then our capacity to have more wiggles is high. But if the whole gang is cramped and Dorothy and Feathersword are riding on the bonnet, then your capacity is pretty low. And so that's essentially how I think about TIBC.
God. Really important resources that you can sort of look at here. Well, not really resources, but important things that you can look at for looking at iron studies is there's lots of interpretation tables. And sort of if you use these concepts to understand why it's happening, then you can sort of put it into tables and think about how that lines up with the various conditions that can cause, well, that can cause anemia.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Wikipedia actually has an amazing table for this.
Yeah.
Specifically, the conditions you want to look for are iron deficiency anemia, anemia of chronic disease, maybe thalassemia, and maybe like a hemolytic anemia.
Yeah.
But nothing more than that. So don't worry about memorizing the entire table.
Yeah.
Last thing.
Management.
Yay. So what are the principles of management of iron deficiency anemia?
Well, there's the two really big things. You want to replace the iron so that it gets back up to normal levels and fix the cause so that it doesn't get low again, if it's possible.
All right. So how do we replace?
Well, if you've got less iron, you want to replace it and you can do that with oral iron supplements, usually as that's the first line. There's lots of different preparations and there are some side effects that can commonly be experienced. The common ones are gastrointestinal side effects. So you can get some constipation, diarrhea, you can get some dark stools. And some people can find that intolerable. And so that leads us to iron infusions, which also have some other indications as well.
So you can take iron infusions if you can't tolerate iron supplements, but also people with chronic kidney disease, quite symptomatic anemia, so people with severe symptoms, malignancy, so if you have cancer, and most patients with inflammatory bowel disease will get infusions. So that means a needle into your veins and we give the iron directly through those veins.
Yeah, great. And so that's sort of your ways to replace the iron, but then we want to fix the cause.
Yeah. And so this ranges so hugely with iron deficiency and even more with anemia. For example, if you have a bowel cancer, you probably want to stop that bowel cancer from bleeding and remove it. If you have a peptic ulcer, you probably want to get rid of that ulcer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're bleeding too much from periods, you probably want to look at some ways to decrease that, maybe using a contraceptive or other cause.
And there's so many ways to do it. And then things like chronic disease, which may be the other one that you look at, and some of the things that can come up in the other cases for second and third years, then you'll be looking at replacing what triggers red blood cells to be produced in the first place, so giving a synthetic EPO.
And last point on that is if patients are really, really, really sick because of anemia or just a lack of blood in general, we can consider giving them a blood transfusion. So that's different to an iron. Iron, we just give iron so the body can have those building blocks. But if it's severe enough, we just give straight blood because we want that patient to survive.
Yep. Exactly right. And Yay. That brings us to the end of our Ed Corner. Yay.
Yay. Jingle time.
We had a blast today. A blastic time.
A sick tick time.
Oh, God. That is a good signal that we need to wrap it up.
We need to wrap it up.
But we would like to thank our major sponsors, as per usual, Mega, Perks, and AMA for your ongoing support.
Thank you. Ka-ching.
Ka-ching. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.